Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, February 22nd, 2021. Coming up this hour.
The bond sell-off continues as 10-year yields climb to a one-year high.
A new report says Pfizer's vaccine is nearly 90% effective in preventing COVID infections.
The encouraging data come as the U.S. approaches 500,000 deaths from the virus.
And an explosive engine failure grounds Boeing jets.
New York Governor Cuomo facing pushback as members of his own party look to limit his emergency powers. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Knicks held on to beat Minnesota. The sixth straight win for the Nets. They beat the Clippers in L.A.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA.
And U.S. futures are falling as bond yields continue to climb. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 29 points. Dow futures down 180. NASDAQ futures down 162. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. So is the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.36%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 41 cents at $59.65 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1% or $17.60 at $17.95 an ounce. The euro 1.2128 against the dollar and the yen 105.66. Nathan.
Well, Karen, bond yields do continue to rise as stocks sell off this morning. This month alone, 10-year Treasury yields have picked up 30 basis points. We get more on the story from Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger.
Today's market moves are really all about the bond market. The reflation trade has come roaring back between the U.S. stimulus and vaccines that are showing to really work. So the hope is that pent-up demand can finally be put to use and the economy gets back on track. At the same time, though, we have metals that are very expensive. Copper is nearing a record run. All of that adding to the inflationary pressure and higher bond yields. Danny Berger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Danny, thank you. Bonds are selling off as we get more encouraging news on the vaccine front. A new study shows the Pfizer and BioNTech shot appear to stop the majority of recipients in Israel from becoming infected with an 89% effective rate. And Bloomberg's Ian Fisher says the results are significant.
It wasn't clear before if you got it, if you still could give it to someone else, even if you wouldn't get sick. And this showed it stopped about 90% of infections from one person to another. So that was an unknown, and now it seems to be somewhat known through Israel.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 63 million shots. And get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
The news comes as the U.S. approaches a grim milestone on the brink of nearly 500,000 deaths from the virus. Anthony Fauci, the country's top infectious disease expert, says it's an historic and terrible moment.
It's stunning when you look at the numbers, almost unbelievable, but it's true. This is a devastating pandemic, and it's historic. People will be talking about this decades and decades and decades from now.
Fauci made those comments on NBC's Meet the Press, heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio.
Now to the UK, where plans are being laid to ease lockdown restrictions. The Prime Minister is expected to outline a timeline today, and we get more from Bloomberg's Sandra Kilhoff in London.
Boris Johnson is expected to tell Parliament that all schools will reopen on March the 8th and allow two people to meet outside. It's also thought that the Prime Minister will allow more social contact from the 29th of March, but what is not yet known is when non-essential retail and hospitality can reopen. This comes as the UK has raised its vaccination targets, aiming to offer a shot to all adults by the end of July. In London, Sandra Kilhoff, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sandra, thanks. Another major story we're following this morning involves Boeing. Its 777 jets are being grounded in the U.S., Japan, and South Korea following an explosive engine failure over the weekend. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Yeah, Nathan, the engine fan blades failed on United Airlines Flight 328 from Denver to Honolulu shortly after the aircraft took off. It ripped apart the plane's right engine cowling and showered debris on the ground below. The plane did land safely back at Denver. Investigators say two engine fan blades were fractured. Inspections have been ordered for all 777s equipped with engines made by Raytheon's Pratt & Whitney. Boeing was only just dusting itself off from the nearly two-year grounding of its best-selling 737 MAX when this latest incident occurred. Boeing shares down over 3% in the pre-market. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to politics now, the next phase of President Biden's legislative agenda is taking shape, and stimulus is front and center. And Kate brings us the very latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Democrats begin the final push for President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus bill this week, hoping to quickly pass the package before an earlier round of benefits runs out. The House plans to vote as soon as Friday on the Democrats' legislation, with the Senate to take up the matter next week. Hurdles to be resolved include a provision to phase in a $15 per hour minimum wage. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says lawmakers will send the measure to the president's desk before unemployment insurance benefits expire on March 14th. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ann, thanks. Meantime, the president's approved a major disaster declaration for Texas. The move will expedite federal funding for the state after a rare Arctic blast led to widespread power outages.
China is urging the Biden administration to scrap tariffs and restore goodwill. The Chinese foreign minister says they should reopen dialogue that was cut off under former President Trump. In addition to tariffs, he cites curbs on Chinese media and students as other areas of concern.
Fed Chair Jay Powell can expect pressure to support the stimulus plan when he appears on Capitol Hill this week. In testimony before the Senate Banking Committee tomorrow and the House on Wednesday, Powell will likely play down the risk of inflation despite the size of President Biden's $1.9 trillion proposal. The Fed chief is expected to cite millions of Americans still out of work due to the pandemic.
And we're on the verge of a deal in the banking industry this morning. Bloomberg News has learned M&T Bank is set to buy People's United Financial in an all-stock deal valued at more than $7 billion. The agreement could be announced this morning. M&T is based in Buffalo. People's United is in Bridgeport, Connecticut. A takeover would be the latest in a string of deals among regional banks. S&P futures lower this morning, down 27 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
And at 6:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Amy Morris for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy.
Thank you, Nathan. New York lawmakers will seek to curb the sweeping emergency powers afforded to Governor Cuomo in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. Cuomo has taken a lot of criticism for withholding information related to nursing home deaths. Members of his own party are looking to shift power away from the governor with a vote that could come as early as this week. This as Governor Cuomo says the first case of the South African coronavirus variant has been discovered in a New York State resident. He says the South African variant case involved a resident of Nassau County. A Connecticut resident who had been hospitalized in New York City was found to have the South African variant last week. With thousands of Americans still fighting the effects of COVID-19, scientists are learning more about the impact on children. While 10% of adults report suffering from long-term symptoms, more kids are also feeling it, like 13-year-old Maggie Flannery in New York City. Her mom says doctors were initially skeptical.
It took a couple months for them to realize what we were dealing with, that this wasn't just a typical kid that needed to be told, like, get moving.
Symptoms include extreme fatigue, migraines, stomach and lung problems. The MTA is expanding overnight subway service starting today. As of tonight, the subway will only be closed for 2 hours each night from 2 to 4 a.m. instead of the 4 hours it's been closed each night since early May. Two Central Park ice rinks that were set to close because New York City is cutting ties with the Trump Organization that operates them will stay open until the end of the season. Mayor Bill de Blasio's administration announced last month it would terminate business contracts with President Trump after the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. The rinks were expected to close after yesterday's sessions, but de Blasio's office says they will remain open for the season. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has to act today on two bills that would bring him closer to fulfilling a pledge he made more than 3 years ago to legalize marijuana in his state. He has been wrangling with fellow Democrats over language in the measure to address how law enforcement will treat people under 21 years old in possession of marijuana. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Hi, good morning, Nathan. The best road trip in Nets history. 5-0 out west. Wins at Golden State, Sacramento, Phoenix, and then 2 in L.A. First the Lakers, last night the Clippers, who rallied to tie the game in the final minute, but a DeAndre Jordan tip-in put Brooklyn back ahead, and the Nets won 112-108. James Harden scored 37. Kyrie Irving added 28. The Nets come home with a six-game winning streak, the last four without the still-injured Kevin Durant. Knicks home for lowly Minnesota. They led by 21 in the third quarter. They nearly blew the game. Held on, 103-99. 25 points for Julius Randle, 21 for R.J. Barrett. Knicks are a game under 500. The Timberwolves are an NBA worst 7-24, and after the game, they fired their young coach, Ryan Saunders. They're on the verge of hiring Toronto assistant Chris Finch. The Devils blew a 2-0 lead, lost at Washington 4-3. Outdoor hockey last night in Lake Tahoe saw the Bruins beat the Flyers 7-3. David Pastrnak had the hat trick. Rutgers scored only 20 points in the first half, lost to Maryland 68-59. The Scarlet Knights have dropped three of the last four. After Novak Djokovic won the Australian Open final rather easily, he talked about competing with Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal.
It's like a race who plays tennis more, I guess, and who wins more. So it's a competition between us in all areas. But I think that's the very reason why we are who we are, and because we do drive each other. We motivate each other. We push each other to the limit.
Federer and Nadal both have won 20 Grand Slam titles, and Novak Djokovic now has 18, half of those in Australia. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, even during a pandemic, the appetite to watch Major League Baseball spring training appears robust. The Arizona Diamondbacks sold out their entire spring allotment of tickets in less than 24 hours after they went on sale to the public. That's about 2,200 tickets per game. About 20% of the stadium's total 11,000-person capacity. There is still a pandemic on. S&P futures down 27 points. Dow futures down 172. NASDAQ futures down 162 points. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The bond sell-off is deepening. Metals are rallying with copper vaulting above $9,000 a ton as investors price in bets for inflation and faster economic growth. Tech leading losses in equities. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 29 points. Dow futures down 171. NASDAQ futures are down 170. That's 1.25%. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds, yield 1.36%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.75% or 45 cents at $59.69 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.1% or $18.80 at $17.96.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.2131 against the dollar. British pound, 1.4039. And the yen is at 105.59. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, with much of Texas still struggling without power or water, the few who do have power have been slammed with sky-high power bills. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner says the power companies should have fixed their faulty grid systems and should not be passing those expenses onto their customers. President Biden's pick of Judge Merrick Garland to be Attorney General could get bipartisan support as Senate hearings begin today. And the president tries to restore the Justice Department's reputation as an independent body. The UN top human rights body has opened its first and highest level meeting of 2021. The U.S. returns to participation at the 47-member body after a 2.5-year walkout led by former President Trump. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn now to the pandemic, with the U.S. poised for a tragic benchmark, a half million million lives lost to COVID-19. Still, the pace of that deadly toll is slowing, and vaccines continue to show enormous promise. For the very latest, we're joined once again by Professor Gigi Granval of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. It's good to speak with you this morning, Professor. First off, I'd really like to get your thoughts as we are set to reach this 500,000 mark. What could we or should we have done differently?
There's so much that we could have done differently as far as, you know, making sure that the right public health guidance, even if it changes, was given to people to protect themselves. Americans should have received masks and should have been encouraged to wear them. We should have put more emphasis on indoor air quality so that because this is a respiratory virus that is spread throughout the air. So there's a lot that we could have done, but a more harmonious message from the federal government would have been a big step.
Are we starting to see those changes happen now as we watch the case count and, crucially, the death count start to slow quite a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think I know everybody is disappointed with the pace of vaccine rollout. I'm also impatient. I would like to get vaccinated. But it's definitely picking up. And cases are slowing regardless. I don't know whether it's the slow pace after the holidays or whether people are finally, you know, more taking the advice to wear masks or social distancing. But the combination is having a good effect, and cases are slowing.
I'm surprised to hear you say you haven't gotten your vaccine, given your status as a health worker, an expert in the field. What does that say about the organization of the vaccine rollout?
I don't treat patients, so I'm on a lower priority list, and the people who are most vulnerable should be especially seniors, should be getting vaccinated, and so they are the highest priority, and should be getting that benefit to prevent hospitalization and death.
At what point do you think we'll be able to get past the prioritization lists and get to a point where anybody who wants a vaccine can get it? Is it going to be state by state, or is there a way for us to tell more broadly that we've reached that point?
Right. Yeah, I think it's always going to be state by state, because it's that final mile is the responsibility of local public health. But it seems like the federal government is turning up all the levels to make sure that vaccine gets delivered. So if there are things that they could do that they're not doing, I'm sure they would like to hear it, but it seems like they're pulling out all the stops.
I'd like to get your thoughts as well on these latest headlines we're getting regarding vaccine efficacy, particularly this study out of Israel that suggests the Pfizer shot is nearly 90% effective when it comes to stopping transmission of COVID-19. What more do you want to hear from a study like that? What could it say about the other vaccines that are in the pipeline?
So it'd be great to see the data, first of all, but it's such encouraging news because, you know, vaccine is not a bug zapper. It's not going to prevent you from getting infected. But what it does do is, if you get infected, your immune system pounces on that virus and keeps it from replicating and getting out of control, and therefore getting into your nose and being breathed out into the air. So it's not a surprise that it reduces transmission, but it's nice to see data that, you know, that reports that it does do that. And hopefully the other vaccines will have a similar effect as we get more of them online. We're expecting to hear more from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in the next weeks. So hopefully that will be available to the U.S. As well.
In our last minute here, does that raise the possibility that we get to herd immunity more quickly? I mean, we heard from former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb on Face the Nation yesterday. He was saying he doesn't think there's going to be true herd immunity, and that we're basically going to have to live with COVID at a lower level.
I think COVID could be endemic, and we're never going to completely eradicate this virus. But we still have a ways to go. The kids are not part of the vaccine strategy right now. They're starting to be enrolled in clinical trials. But until we get the whole population as a possibility for vaccine, it's a little bit early to talk about when we're going to reach herd immunity.
Thanks again for your insights, as always. Professor Gigi Granvall is with the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. So far, more than 63 million vaccine doses have been administered in this country. You can follow the effort through the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It's updated daily at Bloomberg.com. S&P futures lower by 26 points. Dow futures down 153. NASDAQ futures on the decline by 165 points. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, wintry mix, changes to plain rain, high near 40 degrees, partly sunny, breezy, low 40s tomorrow, upper 40s, mostly sunny on Wednesday, 32 currently in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling and the bond sell-off continues as we begin a new trading week. 10-year Treasury yields are near the highest level in about a year. We get more from Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger.
The idea here is one that we've seen over the past week or so, where you have the U.S. stimulus in focus, and at the same time, you have vaccines for the coronavirus that are also showing to be successful. So if economies start to reopen, there's this pent-up demand. That means inflation, or at least reflation, can really roar. The difference this time, though, is we're starting to see this trade where metals are appreciating very quickly. Copper is nearly at a record run, adding to the inflationary pressure and higher bond yields.
That's Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger. And copper touched above $9,000 a ton this morning, while the yield on the 10-year Treasury is at 1.36%.
Another major story we're following involves Boeing. Its 777 jets have been grounded following an explosive engine failure over the weekend. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Nathan, regulators have ordered emergency inspections of fan blades on Boeing 777 planes using Pratt & Whitney engines. Japan and South Korea have halted all flights of the aircraft. This after the right engine of United Airlines Flight 328 from Denver to Honolulu blew apart after takeoff over the weekend. It rained debris on the ground. The jet was able to return safely to Denver. The National Transportation Safety Board says two engine fan blades were fractured. Boeing shares right now down 3.9%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We have encouraging news on the vaccine front. A study shows the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine appear to stop the majority of recipients in Israel from becoming infected with an 89% effective rate. Scott Gottlieb is former head of the Food and Drug Administration.
I think the data out of Israel is going to be the most definitive answer to this question in the near term. I think conventional wisdom right now is that the vaccine does prevent infection and does prevent transmission. The question is the magnitude. We don't know the full magnitude of that effect yet.
And Gottlieb made the comments on Face the Nation from CBS, heard Sundays right here on Bloomberg Radio. The encouraging vaccine data comes as a grim milestone nears, with the U.S. approaching 500,000 COVID deaths. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 29 points. Dow futures down 177. And NASDAQ futures down 180. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.36%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus the check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 6:33 on Wall Street. Amy Morris is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. New York is confirming its first case of the South African COVID variant on Long Island. Nassau County Executive Laura Curran confirmed the cases in Glen Head, saying health professionals don't believe it's more deadly. They do think it may be more contagious. She adds the county's coronavirus indicators continue to drop, but residents need to ensure progress continues by following safety protocols. After having last week off, members of the New York State Legislature will be back in session today.
since they last met. Controversy has continued to grow over how Governor Cuomo's administration has handled nursing home patients during the COVID-19 pandemic. Some Republicans are calling for the creation of an impeachment commission to investigate the issue and report back to lawmakers. Members of both parties are also considering stripping Governor Cuomo of the emergency powers that he was granted during the early days of the health crisis. Nursing homes across New York are expected to get some important information from the State Department of Health this week. It will involve guidelines all long-term care facilities must follow so visitors can be allowed inside. One thing that will be mandatory is a rapid COVID-19 test for anyone who wants to visit a close friend or relative. Nursing home visits have been restricted for months in an effort to prevent the spread of coronavirus among patients and staff members. New York restaurants say they're in trouble as the pandemic drags on. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York says there is bipartisan support of the Restaurant Act, including $25 billion in flexible grants to eateries in New York.
Restaurants have said they will close if we don't pass this legislation. That's how vital it is.
Schumer adding most New York City restaurants need money desperately. One of New Jersey's longest-serving state senators has died. Senator Gerald Cardinale was 86 years old. Cardinale served almost four decades as a Republican in the New Jersey Senate. He passed away Saturday after a brief illness. Governor Phil Murphy says all flags will be lowered to half staff today when the Senate returns to session. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here with a Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, Nathan, it would have been the most embarrassing of losses. The Knicks hosting the NBA worst Timberwolves. They led by 21 in the third quarter, nearly blew it, but held on 103-99. Minnesota did win the fourth quarter 28-16. Karl Anthony Towns led them with 27. Julius Randle led the Knicks with 25. After the game, the Timberwolves fired their coach, Ryan Saunders. Nets also nearly blew a lead in L.A. Nets and Clippers were tied.
Kyrie winding it down between the circles now. Veers to the right, picked up by Terrence Mann. Step back, three on the right. In and out, no good. Tipped by Jordan, goes down. DeAndre Jordan, the former Clipper, with the tip in with 11 seconds to go as the Nets take a two-point lead. Timeout, Clippers.
WFAN at the call, and Brooklyn won at 112-108. What a road trip. Nets went 5-0 out west. They had never had a trip like that before. They won the last four without Kevin Durant. James Harden, terrific again. 37 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Kyrie Irving added 28. The Knicks and Nets both play at home tomorrow night, and it will be the first time that fans will be allowed into the building, 10% of capacity. Devils lost to Washington 4-3. T.J. Oshie scored twice to the Caps. College hoops, the Big Ten. Rutgers lost to Maryland 68-59, and third-ranked Michigan improved to 16-1. Won a thriller at Ohio State 92-87. Tiger Woods told CBS he's hoping to play the Masters, but he's not sure he'll be able to due to his ailing back. The Genesis in L.A. went to playoff. Max Homa beat Tony Finau. Novak Djokovic has now won 6 of the last 10 Grand Slams. He won his 9th Australian Open title. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, what you looking at this morning?
Well, I'm looking at the aftermath of that incident over the weekend where there was an engine failure that showered debris over a Denver suburb. So the plane was a Boeing 777. You've seen jets grounded by United Airlines, which had that flight, and also by carriers in Japan and South Korea. Boeing's down 4% in early trading. The engine was a Pratt & Whitney 4000 made by Raytheon Technologies. Raytheon shares down 3%, and jet engine rival General Electric also lower. GE down 1.5%. Tesla also lower by 3%. The industry news site Electrek reported the electric vehicle maker stopped taking orders for the cheapest version of its sport utility vehicle, the Model Y. The report said it isn't clear whether the halt is temporary or permanent.
So a lot of headline moves there. Meantime, we've got these positive headlines regarding coronavirus vaccines.
Yeah, we do, especially with the one developed by Pfizer and Germany's BioNTech. Their COVID-19 vaccine was 89.4% effective at preventing lab-confirmed infections in an Israeli study. That figure from a draft publication was posted on Twitter and confirmed by a person familiar with the work. Pfizer just marginally higher in early trading. BioNTech, which trades here in the U.S., up 1%. On the earnings front, Dish Network higher by 0.5%. The satellite broadcaster's fourth quarter earnings were well above analyst average estimate in the Bloomberg survey. We're also getting results before the opening bell from the cable channel owner Discovery, which is higher by 2%, and the cruise line owner Royal Caribbean, which is little changed. Freeport MacMoran up 3%. The copper producer's higher after the metal climbed above $9,000 a ton in London trading, copper reaching the highest price since 2011. Plenty happening on the deal front. People's United Financial up 2%. A person familiar with the matter said M&T Bank is near a deal to buy the Connecticut-based lender for more than $7 billion in stock. You've got Principal Financial up 2%. People familiar with the matter said activist investor Elliott Management has bought a stake in the life insurer. And Kohl's up 5%. Again, a person familiar with the matter said a group of activists has a 9.5% stake in the department store chain and is seeking 9 of 12 board seats. Now, Kohl's said it's been talking with the investors since early December. And I got one more for you, Nathan, and it's okay. In the blank check company category, specifically Churchill Capital 4, up 11.5%. People familiar with the matter said Churchill is near an agreement to buy electric vehicle maker Lucid Motors. They said the combined company's value would be high of $15 billion. And this one has been in the works for at least 7 weeks based on our reporting.
Yeah, yet another blank check deal. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you for all that. Looking at stocks as a whole this morning ahead of the open, futures are pointed lower. S&P futures down 31 points. Dow futures down 189. NASDAQ futures on the decline by 194 points. 10-year down 7/32. The yield 1.36% on the benchmark 10-year note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, rain and snow this morning. It'll change to plain rain later with a high near 40 degrees. Low 40s tomorrow, partly sunny and breezy. Mostly sunny Wednesday, upper 40s. Currently 33 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are falling this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, helped by pre-market declines in Boeing. Dow futures currently down 180 points. S&P's dropped 30. NASDAQ futures are lower by 183. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.36%. Gold is up 13, and Shanghai fell 1.5% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the Chicago Fed at 10 o'clock, leading index, and at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. In other news, that engine explosion spurred Boeing 777 groundings in the U.S. and Asia. Studies showed that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine reduced the virus transmission by almost 90%, and copper hit a 9-year high. Wrapping things up, Deutsche Bank upgraded the airlines to buy, Snap raised to overweight at Morgan Stanley, and Schwab raised to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First Alert Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, the $1.9 trillion economic package proposed by President Joe Biden is making a dash for the finish line. Democrats begin the final push for the stimulus bill this week, dropping any pretense of bipartisanship so they can quickly pass the package before an earlier round of benefits runs out. Safe drinking water still out of reach for millions across the South after a series of winter storms, as Texans are getting massive electric bills in the mail after days of brutal cold and power outages. The Texas Public Utilities Commission is issuing a moratorium on customer disconnection for non-payment. And in sports, the Washington Capitals beat the New Jersey Devils, Bruins beat the Flyers, and in the NBA, the Nets beat the Clippers. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries.
I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. as the U.S. is poised to pass the 500,000 mark in coronavirus deaths. The White House continues its push for K-8 schools to reopen by President Biden's 100th day in office. That would be April 30th. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki tells ABC's This Week it will take stimulus to do it.
That's why he's proposed $130 billion in the American Rescue Plan, because many schools across the country don't have the resources to be able to invest in improving facilities, on hiring more bus drivers, on hiring more temporary teachers so we can have smaller class sizes.
The president of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, tells NBC's Meet the Press teachers want schools reopened too, but they want to be a priority for vaccination.
I just did a survey of my membership, and 85% have said that they would be comfortable being in school if they had the kind of testing, layered mitigation, like, you know, and vaccine prioritization.
The Biden administration also says it's ready to revive the nuclear deal with Iran. But as National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told CBS's Face the Nation, the ball is in Iran's court.
Joe Biden is intent, determined to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. He believes that hard-headed, clear-eyed diplomacy is the best way to do that. And so he's prepared to go to the table to talk to the Iranians about how we get strict constraints back on their nuclear program.
And on Fox News Sunday, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates sounded an alarm about Twitter banning former President Donald Trump even after his rhetoric before the Capitol riot.
We don't want to partition and have a social network for one party and another social network. We want to have a common base where we're exchanging ideas and thoughts.
Fox News Sunday, Face the Nation, Meet the Press, and This Week can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's get more on what's happening this Monday morning from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, joining us live from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington, D.C. Let's start, Emily, with the push for stimulus, because that $1.9 trillion package that President Biden's been talking about for so long is really going to get going this week in terms of actual legislation moving forward.
Right. The rubber is going to hit the road this week. We're going to see the stimulus package be approved by a committee that should be coming around just the next couple days. And then we're going to be seeing it headed to the House floor. Now, this is a big test for Democrats. The question, they have these really narrow majorities in either chamber. Can Democrats sort of keep their coalition together? Because you do have some issues like that $15 minimum wage that isn't super popular with some moderates, including Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema. So there is some question about how much unity we're going to be seeing from Democrats and what that's going to mean for the party going forward in accomplishing their agenda in the next 2 years.
Well, what are you seeing in terms of the negotiations happening behind the scenes? You mentioned Joe Manchin. It seems like we hear his name a lot. We have heard it a lot since President Biden took office.
Absolutely, because in a Senate where Democrats have a, you know, the slim majority with 50-50, it only takes one senator, Democratic senator, decide that they don't want to do something to sort of, you know, bring things to a bit of a halt. And so a big question, of course, within this is exactly what the Senate parliamentarian is going to decide to do. Remember, because Democrats aren't using the regular legislative process, they're using this special process, and only certain things can be passed via that special process. And so the Senate parliamentarian kind of has that final say whether or not something can go through with the route the Democrats are taking.
A lot more nitty-gritty to come, I'm sure. Meantime, we've got some breaking news this morning in terms of the current stimulus that's still law. The Biden administration's making some tweaks to the Paycheck Protection Program.
Yeah, so President Biden is trying to provide some more favorable treatment to small businesses applying for the next round of these loans. Businesses with fewer than 20 employees are going to get 2 weeks before everyone else to apply for these loans that can then become a grant. And the Biden administration also has other plans to make sure that they're assisting individual workers, self-employed contractors, just sort of make sure that they are the ones who are able to get the treatment, that they're not crowded out by larger companies.
And a little bit more breaking news this morning when it comes to one of President Biden's cabinet picks that's still waiting for confirmation. It looks like his pick to lead the budget office, Neera Tanden, is hanging by a thread now.
Yeah, Nancy Handon was always a little bit of a controversial pick just because of how she had tweets that she had sent that were a bit incendiary and confrontational. And so she was kind of a difficult pick to begin with. And over right before the weekend, Joe Manchin, once again, the moderate Democrat, came out and said that he would not be supporting her nomination. So now the Biden administration needs to find another Republican to vote for her, or her nomination cannot go forward and pass. And this morning, we heard that Susan Collins, who is a more moderate Republican and was a potential lawmaker who could have sided with Democrats, she came out and said that she will also not support Tandon's nomination. And so it's looking more and more difficult for that to go through.
Yeah, it sounded like they're going to need another Republican potentially to vote in her favor. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. At 6:55 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, as brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a real difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Well, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. It's the first real-world indication that vaccinations will curb the spread of the coronavirus. A study shows that the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine appear to stop the vast majority of recipients in Israel from becoming infected. The vaccine was 89% effective in preventing laboratory-confirmed infections. Last week's deep freeze in the U.S. was no surprise. Government and private meteorologists saw it coming. They started sounding warnings 2 weeks ahead of time. They talked to officials. They issued blunt warnings through social media. And yet, catastrophe happened. Experts say meteorologists had both types of sciences down right, the math-oriented atmospheric physics for the forecast and the squishy social sciences on how to get their message across. And a space station supply ship named after the black NASA mathematician featured in the movie Hidden Figures rocketed into orbit over the weekend. Northrop Grumman's Cygnus capsule, dubbed the SS Katherine Johnson, should reach the International Space Station later today following its launch from Virginia's eastern shore. Johnson died almost exactly a year ago at the age 101. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating more pivotal moments in U.S. Black history each day. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1989, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince win the very first rap Grammy for the crossover hit.
Your parents just don't understand.
But the duo, also known as Jeff Towns and Will Smith, were not there to pick up their award. When it was decided that the Soul Rap Award would be announced during the non-televised portion of the Grammys, the hip-hop world boycotted. Smith at the time called the idea of an afternoon award
a slap in the face.
While there were some critics, supporters of the boycotts thought the stance helped the duo cement what would become decades of success in music, television, and film. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 30 points. Dow futures down 190, and NASDAQ futures down 184. The 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 1.37%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.10%, and the 30-year yield at 2.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.75%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.